Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. MidwayUSA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Yak Gadget. For all your kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Pelican cases, coolers, and lighting, go to pelican.com. The 153 Bait Company. For all your hard and soft bait needs, go to the 153anglers.com. Now let's get this show started.
Welcome back, Brad.
Welcome back,
Josh. It's the final cast. It's a Thursday. Brad and Josh here. Yay. Good times. Good times.
Yay.
So Brad and I have been struggling. We've been struggling lately, haven't we? Trying to find guests and ideas. So,
I've been struggling with everything lately, man.
It's going to be just brace with us. Hold on for the ride. It's going to be bumpy for the next, I don't know, probably to finish out the year for us. I mean, we still got November. We'll probably take that hiatus that we always do in December.
I hope we do the whole month. Last year, we did 2 weeks.
The year before, we might have done three. I can't remember. But anyways. So Brian and I have been kind of throwing around some ideas, and today we're going to talk about cold water dangers, dry suits, wet suits, whatever comes to mind. It's the season, at least for us. We hit in October. Our temperatures, I think, reached down in the 30s last night, and I think that's the first time since the winter. It was frosty a little bit places. I don't know. Did you notice that? Did you get up early enough to see that?
Yeah, my windshield was frosted. I had to scrape it.
Mine wasn't frosted, but I think that's because I don't have like a lot of grass around. So there's not as much dew in the area.
Yeah.
When I got to work, I could see the frost in the grass and stuff. So,
yep.
But anyways, Brad and I are very big on the whole cold water safety type stuff. It's something that we took seriously. What, it was last winter when we got our dry suits, and I haven't had a chance to use mine nearly as much as Brad has, but I don't know. I think we got some, Brad's got a lot more time with his now, so we can get some good ideas from him of what's working, like layering wise. But dude, let's get into kind of the what do you think is the optimal time to switch over to a dry suit and why, and like what's your belief in this? Because we've talked about the 120 rule, and explain that to the listeners as well.
Well, I kind of changed my mind, especially after I flipped my kayak for the first time recently.
Yeah,
and the water temperature was 70 degrees that day. It was 65 degrees outside, and the whole day after I flipped, I was shivering. I was like, well, it was also really windy too, like 25 mile an hour winds, but still, yeah, that sucked. Shivering for 6 hours. Luckily my buddy had a NRS Champion jacket that I was able to use, you know, to keep some of the body heat until my stuff dried out. Ended up not mattering anyway because I fell in the water the second time. So,
you did it twice?
I didn't flip the kayak. I flipped once. I fell in again. I slipped on a rock and I completely went in again.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. It was like 3 hours later. I was like, I am destined to be wet today. And my buddy was like, dude, I don't know what to tell you.
All right. First mistake that Brad made. All right. I'll give you the pass on the dry suit. Okay. Because I don't know that the water was 70 degrees, to be honest with you.
Oh, it was.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I had my fish finder.
Yeah. But that's surface water. That's surface.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean what it is 2-3 feet down. You know what I'm saying? I think it gets colder. And I've been reading 60s and you know, for the temperatures on the gauges.
Yeah, the day I went, Middletown said it was 71 degrees.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
I thought it dropped. So
this was 2 weekends ago, though. We were still having that warm weather.
Yeah. But what's your number one thing you think I'm going to point out that you did not do?
Bring a dry bag.
Yep. Yep.
And extra clothes. I know I have it and I got it packed. I just never bring it.
Yeah.
I'm stupid.
But that's the number one thing I would say you should have done. Cause I think you'd have been fine. You know, like you didn't have like the cold water shock issue or anything like that. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you should always carry some dry clothes, you know, just in case, unless it's like super nice and warm and everything that's going to dry out real quick. But I mean, springtime, even late spring, early summer, you know, you can get in those days where it's not terribly warm outside. The water might feel decent, but I mean, how many times you've gone somewhere swimming in a nice heated pool and you get out and you freeze to death because the air temperature is colder, and it doesn't even have to be significantly colder, you know, just that wind alone will chill you out. And it's surprisingly easy really to get hypothermia really when you think about it.
Yeah. I was kind of worried about that after I flipped. My buddy was like, that situation could have been a lot worse than it was. I'm like, I was almost tempted to turn back around because we were only half a mile downstream from where we put in.
That's so funny. I told you about how I almost flipped, right?
Yeah.
When who was it? Me and was it the day I was with Mike? I don't know, dude. But so I was fishing backwards, right? I'm floating down backwards.
That's what I was doing.
And I'm throwing into like the little eddies and stuff like that. And I had caught a fish actually fairly quickly. It was a little one. So I get all excited. And I see, and you know, the water's moving quicker, but I see all these good eddies. So I'm kind of dealing with it. And no, this is actually by myself. This was when I did the, that charity tournament. So on the Little Miami River, and I am floating backwards at like a, I don't know, like a 45 degree angle. And dude, I just broadside a huge rock. No, I mean, dude, I don't even know how I didn't even see it. It's so big. Luckily I didn't tilt at all, but I mean, I hit it with some force and, I was like, ooh, that's probably one of the harder like hits that I've ever had on rocks or whatever in the river. You know, there's only been one or two other times that I've ever felt that I could have tipped over. And one of them was kind of dumb. It was like in a riffle where I high centered on a rock.
Mm-hmm.
But I was on the side of it sort of, and I'm trying to slide off of it. And the current was really fast right there. But I tilted over some, but not to where I was like, oh, definitely going in or anything. So, and that was in the Coosa HD, which tilts kind of far anyways.
Man, if I was in a different kayak, if I still had the Bonafide, I probably wouldn't have flipped. But being the inflatable, it's completely flat, so you're sitting on top of the water.
Yeah.
And that rushing water over the rock just pushed me right up on it like that.
Yeah.
And then it just kept pushing the bottom of it and just flipped it.
Yeah. I can imagine that would kind of be a little – I mean, you're kind of screwed if you get hung up. Like,
because
it's – and it can get water to go over it easy too. You know what I mean? Like
mm-hmm. –
Even if you're sitting there if you're leaning, because you're supposed to lean into the obstacle, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, there was no leaning. I just kept pushing. I was like, once I hit the thing, I was like, oh, crap, I'm screwed.
Oh, I wish I was there.
Yeah. It got deep after that rock too, like 4 feet. I didn't realize it was that deep there.
Yeah.
It's like, dang, I'm going to start fishing that spot from now on.
Yeah. So you took your tumble and then you fell in again. Yep. Were you waiting at that point?
Yeah, I was trying to, I was walking upstream, try to cast into the riffles, and this rock was just slick with green snot.
Oh, yeah.
And I fell backward.
Yeah, this is that time of year where that stuff starts to decompose, that, like, you know, people say it's algae. I don't think it's algae, really. And, well, not the algae that people think, you know what I mean? Like, that causes the problems. I think it's something natural that sort of happens and it collects on the rocks. It's like brown at some point and it'll turn green, but then it gets slick as hell.
Yeah, and you get caught on it in summertime, bouncing stuff on the bottom.
Yeah, but so you were cold. It sucked.
Yep.
And then the very next time you went fishing, I noticed you had your dry suit
on. Yeah, the very next day I had my dry suit on. I was like, I'm not doing that again. Because, well, the water temperatures did drop. Like, well, actually, the next day I went, we were up north. The water temperatures were 10 degrees difference than down south.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think it's because the Mad River comes in there and it's cold, makes it colder.
Mm-hmm. So, what's the model of our NRS dry suits?
NRS Extreme.
Okay, so Brad and I both have the same dry suit. He has the yellow one. I have the
Big
blue
Bird
one.
And Cookie Monster.
And so Brad and I both, obviously, we kind of struggled with them the first year by getting choked out. We learned that the rubber gaskets on the neck aren't, no, it's not a joke. It seals water very well at the same time of cutting the blood supply to your brain. Yeah. And so I remember you struggled with it. I struggled with mine. You know, I don't wear mine enough that it's loosened up. So what do you feel? Have you been able to get over that? Have you just gotten used to it? Was there any tricks to loosening up the neck gasket? Did you trim it? What'd you do?
I didn't trim it. Actually, my buddy, Will, he just got a dry top and was asking me too. I told him to put, well, I put a gallon jug, Coleman, one of those big red jug water bottles. Mm-hmm. I put that in the neck for about a week and that helped. And then didn't trim any off the neck just because David Foyt told us they don't recommend trimming the gasket. So mm-hmm. I didn't do it. It don't bother me anymore unless I'm bending over trying to get something, I guess. I don't know. That's when I start to feel that choking feeling, I guess. But other than that, it's fine.
Yeah. That was the only thing you've done? Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I didn't do anything else to it. It's just the more you wear it, the more you get used to it, the more it stretches out.
Yeah. So, I'll talk about what I've used mine as far as like layering, and then you can share what you do, like what kind of shoes you're rocking or whatever. I have a nice set of regular waders. So I have a nice pair of Sims G3s I wear with my dry suit when the time's appropriate. I made a mistake one year of wearing my regular waders, and you probably remember the story a couple years ago at the Turkey Bowl when I fell in trying to take a pee.
Oh yeah.
And I was wearing waders with stuff that I used for hunting, which were like my Under Armour cold gear base layer stuff, the Under Armour stuff that I had, the mm-hmm. camo. And then I have a mid layer too, which is like fleece. So I have fleece pants and a fleece shirt. And then I wore my waders over that. And then I had a jacket. But that day, I think I actually ended up taking the jacket off because it wasn't that extremely cold. But I ended up having to pee and had so much stuff on that I could not do it in the kayak. I had to get out on the bank. And when I did, I actually stepped on some rocks that I thought were solid and they weren't, and they rolled on me and I fell backwards into the water. Jeez. Luckily I didn't fall. Like I hurt myself more than I got like wet probably. Cause I, you know, hit an elbow on a rocks. I didn't fall completely in. I fell with like part of my upper body. Mm-hmm. And, but what I really noticed was, and this is what scares me and kind of doesn't make me mad, but just makes me worry for people that I see out there, especially that they're wearing like fleece type stuff and they have mm-hmm. no PFDs on and it's the water's getting cold and they're out there in their kayak. And that just a recipe of disaster. Cause mm-hmm. when I fell in that little bit, Brad, it was just my upper like left arm, right? Like, and maybe like midway down my torso, just on the left side.
Yeah.
And that, my arm was completely in the water, which mind you, I have that base layer fleece. And then I had like another kind of fleece jacket. Cause I have like my mid layer is like a fleece, but it's kind of form fitting. And cause it, I wear that stuff underneath hunting gear too. So mm-hmm. it's like, I got three layers on. So my mid layer, I don't want it too bulky. When that stuff got wet, dude, like my arm felt like it weighed so much, like compared to my other one. Like,
oh, I believe
and
it.
And that's what I really was like, okay, this is, I get it with the dry suit now, you know, this is, you know, I can't imagine that if I would have fallen in that day, cause it was cold that day. It was in the 30s. If I would have fallen all the way in, what the cold shock would have been like. But on top of that, the fact that I had waders on, which would have filled with water, on top of having a shit ton mm-hmm. of fleece on, which is like a sponge, and how much yeah. all of it would have weighed.
Yeah.
So that's where I kind of, I can wear that same stuff, right? That same base layer, same mid layer, wear it underneath my dry suit and it's going to stay dry. Then mm-hmm. at that point, you know, I'm not soaking it in water, and that's the key to the dry suits. You know, it's a basically a barrier. It's a barrier to keep you somewhat buoyant, right? I mean, mm-hmm. the dry suit, I'm going to tell everybody, is not made to keep you warm. What we wear underneath is what's keeping us warm. The dry mm-hmm. suit is to keep you from being wet and that cold water being held up against your body at that point. You know,
I do got to say though, those dry suits, they are really good at keeping wind. Like it's not breathable at all, man. So if it's windy out, you're not going to feel it.
Yeah.
That's what I love it.
Definitely. They are definitely windproof, but they're not cold proof. Cause I mean, if you think about it, you'd still be cold if you were just wearing a pair of shorts and a t-shirt underneath it, you know?
Yeah. And if you do fall in, if you do fall in with a dry suit, you can't just sit in the water. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to have to get out still. Yeah. Cause you sit in that water, even with dry suit on, you're going to feel it on your skin still cold.
Yeah. And that water pressure is going to push in up against it too. You know, because I mean, you and I have had to burp the dry suit, you know, because when you put these on, that those gaskets are, they seal really, really well. When you put it on, there's air inside of it. You feel like a little balloon. And, you know, I remember Dave telling us, you know, a good thing to do is pull the gasket out a little bit and like crunch, like squat down and crunch your body together, and it'll help expel some of that air. He also suggested if you're brave enough and you got the warm clothes on, you can walk out in the water and, you know, go up almost chest high. If you can go somewhere safe like that and pull the gasket, and the water pressure will push the air out as well. So, but what are you wearing these days? I got the G3 boots. So I usually will wear like wool socks, you know, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. A lot of times I have a couple pairs of like little wading socks that I got from Sims. They're thin. What I like about them is that I don't feel the water like I do or like the sweat with the wool. Cause you know, wool's nice because it keeps you warm even when it's wet, but mm-hmm. kind of hate that weird slimy feeling that wool gives me on my toes.
Yeah,
like just directly on my toes. What are you layering with?
So I don't know if my mom didn't realize that she got me a great Christmas gift last year. So she hooked me up with a set of moisture wicking base layer, mm-hmm. and it was actually meant for skiing. So right. It's like skiing stuff, but it wicks away moisture. I was like, this is perfect. I can wear this under the dry suit.
Yep.
So I wore that all year round. And then over top of that, I'll put my joggers on and then a long sleeve shirt and then another sweatshirt and then my dry suit over that. But I throw the wool socks on. I double those up usually. So when I do double them up, I will put hand warmers in between layers mm-hmm. on the bottom and the top of my feet. Cause I feel when I'm winter fishing last year, I found that my hands and feet are the only thing I get cold. Like I can deal with my torso being cold, you know,
yeah.
But the hands and toes thing, I was like, I got to do something about that. So I started putting one pair on top and bottom of my feet and one pair on top and bottom of my hands in between gloves and in between socks.
Yeah. That's a Rob Orr suggestion, if I remember correct. I remember him talking about storing hand warmers in his gloves and stuff like that. And it's a great idea because
it works.
Yeah. I'm the same way. And it just makes sense. It's where your circulation, it's the furthest point, you know, yeah. for your blood to be pumped to. And so it's going to be the first thing that gets cold. And, what are you wearing shoes now? I know I've seen you rocking those Vans or something occasionally, but
no, those aren't Vans. Those are actually Sperry's, like fancy frat boy shoes.
Yeah. I don't know what they are, but. Like I stopped school bands.
Yeah, I stopped actually wearing those because I got a pinhole in the bottom of my rubber gasket.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from rocks getting in my shoe, and then I'd walk on it, you know, and mm-hmm. caused a pinhole. So I had to locate that pinhole. I patched it with some stuff NRS recommended, and then I stopped wearing those, and I bought some wet shoes. They're called the NRS WTB wet shoe. It's like a neoprene boot, zips on both sides. It's perfect with the dry suit. I mean, it fits nice. I can't. I tried looking at the Boundary boot,
mm-hmm.
but I found that the way the rubber gaskets are made, it only goes so high on the leg.
Yeah.
The Boundary boot goes higher than that, so you can't cover the boot up with the.
Yeah, and we both bought we got dry suits that are on the bigger side so we could layer yeah. underneath it. So that makes sense. Like that's what I was always kind of worried about. That's why I never rushed out to go get the Boundary boot as much.
Yeah, I want them.
You know what would be a really good idea for them to do if they made it? And maybe they have one. I don't know. Do they have a mid?
I don't know. I have to look at that.
They should.
That would be a good idea.
Because, you know, be like, hey, make it to where it fits the cuff length of the rubber gasket or the rubber boot, because that would be awesome. Because that was the one thing. That's why I never did it. Because I'm like, well, I don't want to stuff my dry suit into that boot.
You right. I mean? I'm gonna like look these up because my buddy here. They are my buddy Will. He has a mid-sized boot that he wears just with his waders every now and then when it's colder. Mm-hmm. It's called the NRS Backwater Wet Shoes. And they're kind of similar to mine, but they fit tighter. You know, they kind of look like that. They kind of look like a Boundary boot a little bit, I guess.
Yeah.
That like they're form-fitting, you know what I mean?
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Here. I don't know if...
Yeah, I see. It almost looks like a sock.
Like, yeah, kind of, yeah. But they're all neoprene.
Yeah.
I might actually pull these up here.
Go ahead. So your feet are staying warm though. So that's the good thing. You know, at this time of year, do you kind of shy away from getting out of the kayak and wading around then at that point?
Well, yeah, just because I know the smallmouth aren't shallow anymore. So there's no point in getting out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, dude.
I'm still learning where they're at though. So winter fishing's so overwhelming. I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, those are sharp, man.
Yeah, I thought about getting a pair of them. They're only $69.
Heck yeah. You want to bring up a picture of the boundary boot so we could kind of show relatively what we're talking about and the difference. So let's talk about what you think then is the optimal time in your opinion on like that whole 100, 120 rule. What's appropriate in your opinion of starting to throw the dry suit on?
I'm going to say when the air temperature is in the 60s and the water temperature is 70.
You were miserable.
Dude, it was awful. Like, oh, man.
I've seen somebody fall when the water's in the upper 60s, maybe low 70s, and it was 34 that day. Yeah.
That's dry suit weather, dude. I don't care who you are.
Well, this is when we first started, and he ended up being fine. I was worried. I was really super worried, and I wanted to pull over and build a fire, but he said he was good. So,
I wouldn't have been good.
Shout out to Brad, my buddy Brad. That's his name.
Brad and Brad, both idiots.
But me, him, and our friend Nate, and maybe Greg that day, we went out and Brad was in my ex's Cruise 10 and we forgot to strap the seat down properly. And hit a big, huge, like not submerged log. It was coming out of the water. It was huge, this huge tree, but the current seam took you straight at the tree. And so everybody kind of got little like bunched up in that area and he came flying in there, hit that thing. And when he tilted, that's the seat tilted with him and just fell right out. Yeah, that felt horrible. He lost his favorite rod. I think he lost a rod that his grandfather gave him that day. He was drenched.
Spots like that, I just portage around anymore. It's not worth it. Like, you know of one spot that's like that, like above Wagner Ford, there's a little real fast shoot of water and it's just like turns real quick. I'm like, nope, I'm dragging around that every single time.
The thing is I kind of messed around so much on the Little Miami first, and it has all kinds of weird things like that I started to learn like how to paddle and be okay with those things. I think as fishermen, we start to kind of really freak out about our gear. So we start to worry about that first.
Yeah,
and if I see like a lot of times something sketchy like that coming up, because I'm always looking, like that's why I was so mad at myself for hitting that rock a few weeks back, because I'm really, really good about trying to identify what's coming up at all times.
Yeah, no matter I usually what. Am too.
And that day, it was the same concept of what you said, dude. Like I'm not even 200 to 300 yards from my launch spot, and I've already caught a fish. And the section I did was the section that I met you and Justin at when I first fished with Justin, where we got at Constitution Park with the big, huge concrete kind of ramp.
I've never fished there until this year.
This is on Little Miami River.
And I know.
Me, you, and Justin went, and I remember fishing under the bridge. It was when that huge weird storm thing hit.
Oh, that was that was way downstream. That was. What area was that? That was
that's
like
where it
Mainville,
happened.
Mainville area.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Constitution, I think that Park's way up north from there.
Is it?
Yeah.
What's that name? No, not Constitution Park. I'm sorry. Oh gosh, it's got the ball diamonds. Remember on both sides, and you pull down, there's a put-in spot, and I can't remember. Doesn't matter. but yeah, dude, it's you know, you just kind of go with it. But anyways, I don't know. So you're saying you learned that 70-degree water and an air temperature less than that is pretty chilly. And I'll agree with you. I mean, I can get in the water and wet wade like that still.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really kind of bother me. But that's a little bit different though, because you're staying submerged and you kind of get used to it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I've waded in 60-degree water before. Mm-hmm. And wet waded like that. You know, at this point now though, I'd probably be throwing on my regular waders if I'm just wade fishing. And you know, and definitely since our air temperatures are dropping significantly in the past couple of days, dry suit, you know, needs to be taken out. But I mean, the 120 rule, I don't know, man. I'm not, maybe the 120 rule has a little bit of truth to it, but mm-hmm. I wouldn't put all your eggs in that basket.
Right.
Brad, you were in 70-degree water in a 60-something degree day, and you were cold. Now, you didn't have cold shock when you hit the water, right?
No. I was going to say there's always exceptions to that rule. I mean,
right.
I'm sure 25-mile-an-hour winds didn't help it. If there wasn't any winds that day, I probably would have been fine.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's gonna make it a lot colder feeling than it really is. Yep. But it's like, remember when we talked with Ricketts about this, you know, mm-hmm. You can't really say that, because if it was 80 degrees outside and 40 degree water, you're gonna get cold shock.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, so the 120 rules, you know, I don't know, but it's the same kind of concept. Well, okay, maybe the water is 80 degrees. It's super warm and you jump in, but then you get out and it's 40 degrees. You're going to be cold.
Yeah.
So, and it's a different kind of cold though, because you're not worried. But my whole point is that there's a point where the water gets to be, and it's not about drowning because of your inability to swim. What we learned last time we talked about this and we watched those videos was when you hit the water and it's cold like that, there's a couple of things that's going to happen, and your body's going to tighten up. All your muscles are going to tighten up because it's a shock. It's a shock to your system. And a lot of times when that happens, especially if people weren't wearing PFDs, you are going to probably sink. And you may gasp as well. Like something that's kind of involuntary is the gasping for air, because it takes your breath away and it feels like you can't breathe. And that's where people get in trouble, is they hit the water. They can't move for the first, however long, 30 seconds, you know, it may even be quicker than that, but it doesn't take long, you know, and then you're gasping, and that's where people start to inhale water, and it happens very, very, very quickly, because they've done studies on this where if you can actually be relaxed when you hit the water and deal with the shock, you have freaking like something like 10 minutes to get out of the water, even at a really cold temperature. I mean, people do those stupid polar plunges every year.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is, what they're doing is they're introducing their body into the water slowly. You know, or they might run out there quick, but they're in shallow water. They're with a ton of people. You know, there's ambulance and lifeguards on staff for those things or whatnot. But when you're out on the river like that, you may be by yourself. You may be with somebody else. You may be with a couple people. But usually when you're fishing, what are we doing, Brad? We're spacing out.
Yep.
So if I'm the fall in the water and you're downstream from me, you're not going to be coming up to me in a quick manner. I mean, I know you'd come up quick as you can, but fighting back upstream is a different ballgame.
Yeah, unless you had a torpedo.
Yeah. But so that's kind of where my issue lies, is that people put way too much faith into their ability to swim when it's really not about that. It's not at all about that. It's a kind of what your body's reaction is to when you initially first fall in that water.
Yeah. I agree, man. It's kind of scary to think about right now. I'm like, I hope that don't happen over the winter. That'd be bad. Even with a dry suit on, I still don't want it to happen.
Yeah, but the thing is here's what's good. You're not going to probably get the shock, okay? It's going to suck. It's going to suck for your head. Probably suck for your hands. Well, you know, it's going to suck for the gear. But here's the thing, though, is you can get out of there, go get a towel, dry off. If you have the, you know, you probably should be carrying an extra pair of gloves and a dry bag and that's dry your head off and, you know, have an extra beanie or whatever. And you're right back out on the water.
Yeah.
You know, you're not, your life's not being threatened. You know, I mean, it's not to say that something else could happen. Obviously you're going to run into, you have, you know, all kinds of obstacles that are out there on the river, but the fact of having a PFD on and a dry suit is just going to greatly increase your odds of surviving.
Yep.
Your ass hitting that water, you know?
Yeah. You mentioned the, your head getting wet and stuff like that. That's a good point because I've been looking at one of these as well.
Yeah.
To where it's like a really thick insulated, a hood, I guess. Yeah,
dude, I've seen people wearing those things and they are like kayaking. You know, a lot of times I see people who are wearing those are whitewater friends and they're out there in November, December, January, February wearing those things, man. It's freezing cold outside.
The crazy guys that do the flips in the Mad River and stuff.
Yeah.
In their kayaks. Yeah, those dudes are nuts, man.
But that stuff works. It works. Okay. Granted, it's expensive. It is expensive to buy dry suits. It's expensive to buy all that gear. But, you know, if you're serious about kayak fishing and you want to stay safe and you want to enjoy what the river has to offer in the wintertime, Brad, tell them what I haven't fished a ton in the wintertime. You know, it's only been a handful of times. But you've told me time and time again that it's like the cleanest that you see the water.
Yep.
It's the most kind of calm, you know. I mean, you've got your bad weather days, obviously. You know, we know what our Ohio, you know, 6 to 10 inches of snow followed by rain, what it does to our river systems here. But, you know, it's extremely peaceful.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, like at least 4 feet visibility down at the bottom. There's no wind. I mean, it's like everything's dead still. Even the water's like low and slow and everything's quiet. It's nice. I mean, it's cold.
You think about it too. You've got less traffic because people just are staying inside. So, because I mean, we live in a suburban area and like some of the areas are kind of urban that we fish.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is just quieter and it's a great time to get out. It's hard fishing, but you learn a lot, you know?
I learned a ton last year. I found 2 winter holes. I mean, you got to fish painfully slow, but I that's where I completely changed my mindset, where I went out there expecting not to catch a fish. So when I went out there to catch a fish, it was super rewarding. I was like, holy crap, this is awesome.
Yeah. And what's cool too, Brad, is you hate getting up in the mornings, right? Mm-hmm. You're not a morning person. And like in the wintertime, you're not getting up in the middle of the
middle of the day.
Yeah.
Like we got out there at like 1 p.m. In the winter. It was nice. But I do got to say, Chris Yauch kind of kicked that out of me this year because me and him rode together a bunch fishing. And he was like, all right, I'll beat your house at 5. I'm like, all right. I finally got used to it. I'm like, all right, I want to go now.
Dude, it's the best, man. That first hour is the golden hour. And, I love it. And, you know, Mike's like that. Grimsley is. He's a get up. He wants to be on that water when the sun comes up. So there's been many early mornings. Me and Mike would decide we want to go fishing, right, for the weekend. And we wouldn't be able to sleep.
Yeah.
And then he'd like, and this is when I was staying with him, right? And I like, And I could hear him like on his iPod or on his iPad watching videos. And it's like 1:30 in the morning. And I'd be like, hey, dude. He'd be like, what? And I'd be like, you want to just go? And he'd be like, yeah, do you want to? And we would literally get our stuff, roll out at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do that, but I definitely don't sleep well when I'm waking up early next day to go fishing. But
yeah,
when you wake up, you're like, you're ready to go. Like that adrenaline's pumping for sure.
Yeah. So what else you got to add about this whole cold water safety thing?
It's no fun. Nobody should do it. Leave the river to me.
Okay. For those who want to get on the river and laugh at Brad, hoping to see him flip his paddleboard over.
I hope not, man.
So check out Chuck Earls.
That dude is
ARLS. He is in the Cleveland area, I want to say.
I think he's like on Lake Erie.
Yeah, he's at Lake Erie, big walleye guy. He does a lot of videos. He is a really cool guy. He is he does a ton of fishing in the wintertime. And he is very, very big on cold water safety. He does a lot of videos. He falls in some icy water like videos. It's crazy. But he's a very big on, and this is what else I wanted to mention was in the summertime, one of the best things that you can do is learn the balance of your kayaks, guys. Mm-hmm. Take the kayak out. Don't take any fishing gear. Go where you got some deeper water and flip that thing and learn where that point is on your kayak. And practice getting back into your kayak. Practice flipping it back over because it's really, really hard to flip those kayaks over. They're made not to flip. So when they do, they're not easy to flip back.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm trying to find I don't know. You probably saw this. Kurt Smith posted on his Facebook about a dry suit.
Yeah.
And Chuck Earls, man, in his dry suit.
Yeah. Have you seen the one where it's laying in the water?
Yeah, I was about to pull that one up too. Right here.
Yeah.
Look at that, dude. That's crazy, dude.
That's ice.
That's ridiculous.
But that's what's cool about them. That's what those things offer. Dry suits are made for people, you know, to wear them in the Bering Sea on those crab boats. It's meant, you know, it's obviously probably not like the 100% like guarantee, nothing is, but it's definitely, definitely going to make your day a lot better if you fall in.
Yep.
So, you know, that's my big thing is don't always trust the 120. Know your water temperature, know your air temperature, know what the wind's going to be, know what your kayak, how it performs, how does it flip feel if it flips, know that you can get back in, you know. The one thing I always want to say too, if you do flip, don't worry about your gear first. That comes later, you know. Sucks, but you know,
luckily I didn't lose any when I flipped.
Yeah,
the Yak Gadget rod stagers, they saved every freaking rod that I had.
That's great, man.
Yeah,
but it's just, what else you got to add, man? Just be safe out there, guys. Don't take unnecessary risk, you know. Like I said, it's expensive. There are cheaper alternatives out there. I'd rather see everybody out there wearing wetsuits, you know, even though they're going to keep you really warm, but it'll help some. Mm-hmm. There's semi-dry suits, which are, if you struggle with wearing the rubber neck gasket, it's like rubber latex almost. It's thick.
Yeah, I thought they were neoprene.
No. I'm saying on the regular ones. Semi-dry suits have neoprene gaskets, which are much, much, much more comfortable. But you can get some water in. You're not going to get
a ton. It's like a damp feeling, I'd imagine.
Yeah, you're not going to get a ton. But, you know, here's the thing about the semi-dry suit. So you want to think about the neoprene that's on your waders, right? That's kind of what that material is. that stuff is easily, you can pull that, right? So yeah. That's the problem I've always had with them in a sense is say you did fall and you got something, you got caught up on something and it pulled that, it's going to let water in. You know what I mean? And it doesn't take much probably to pull that. I don't know. Do you know anybody who's got a semi or semi dry suit? And you, have you ever felt the elasticity to it?
No, actually,
I don't. I'd like to see what that's like.
Yeah, but, I would too.
I mean, when you wear the actual full dry suit, the waterproof ones like Brad and I have, it is hard to get your fingers down in that gasket. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not hard, but you know what I mean? Like if you're falling in the water, it's not going to be easily moved in a way.
Yeah. You know? It'd take a lot of force to open it.
And I would just kind of assume that the neoprene versions aren't the easiest, but you know,
I'd like to try one too, actually.
But those are cheaper options, for sure. So, you know, and there's all kinds of different manufacturers. Brad and I are big fans of NRS. NRS is notorious for having really nice sales. I think ours were what, like $700 or $800 a piece. But if you play your cards right and you pay attention to NRS, there's often like really good deals on their dry suits in and around Christmas, if I remember correctly. I'm sure there's probably even like a end of season kind of closeout they might have, you know, where they're trying to get rid of stock or whatever. I don't know.
Old models.
Yeah, I don't know though, like what it's like supply chain wise for them this year. Just like everybody, it's been a struggle.
Well, the boundary boots are real far behind. I know that for sure. People just talk to me about it.
So, you know, just kind of beware of that. But what else you got, dude?
Just one last thing. People give me crap for wearing it, man. Don't let anybody shame you for wearing one. I mean,
I don't think anybody's giving you crap about wearing it.
Hold on. Even if it was a different color, somebody would still give me crap for it.
Really?
Yeah. Nick McCrelly, really, man. He's my buddy.
I want to go with you and Justin. Me, you, and Justin. We literally look like Sesame Street. I mean, he's got a green one, right?
Yeah.
And he's Groucho. You got Big Bird and Cookie Monster, dude. I mean, we just need to find somebody with a red one. We got Elmo.
No, my buddy Nick, he posted on my post a couple days ago, I guess. He's like, man, you're like the only person that's ever excited to wear one. I'm like, it's not that I'm excited to wear the suit. It's what it allows me to do, I guess. Yeah. So
it gives you a peace of mind that you're out there being relatively safe. And then you know, you're out there fishing in December.
Yeah. November, so
January, you know, if you want.
If somebody reads that, they're like, oh, I'm not going to get a dry suit. People make fun of me. Dude, don't worry about that. Just wear it.
If you're worried about that, you need to really kind of take a look at your life and see why it seems like something that's very elementary school is affecting you, you know?
Yeah. Plus, you got all the big name guys. Kurt's wearing one, Rob Orr, George Nemeth, Chuck Earls.
The stuff that I've been you and I have seen that Rob Orr does in the wintertime is, and he's been doing this for years. Yeah. And it's a complete testament of what the potential is for wintertime fishing out there. What, you know, you don't have to bass fish, you can go after
stripes.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it was Rob and Kurt when they hooked into that giant monster catfish, and it was on the news. The news was actually doing a story about the Ohio River flooding, and like it was flooded like bad. Mm-hmm. And these two dudes and their giant balls go out and they fish out there, and they go fish in parks that are flooded. And
I was going to say that.
Yeah. They're and they hooked up. Well, I don't know.
It's a blue cat, like 50-pound blue cat.
Yeah. Giant blue cat that took them like half hour to an hour to catch. And
on 8-pound mono.
It's all happening while the news is there and they get interviewed like and everything. Yeah, it's pretty cool story, but
The one that sticks out to me is Rob Orr, and Kurt were floating down the river, and he was like, what did we do today? We caught 100 fish. And it's like dead of winter, and like the whole woods are covered in snow. Like, that's epic.
Have you ever seen the video? I don't know. I think it's Kurt towing Rob, I want to say.
And through the ice?
Busting through the ice.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, that was back in the Ohio game fishing days, I think.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Those are good videos. But, yeah, man, just stay safe out there this winter. We always hear a lot of horror stories and, you know, in this late fall to winter transition, as well as that early spring, you know, and it's really not worth it. You know, if you can't, you know, get the gear, just stay off the water, you know, go fish the bank or whatever. You can still catch them from the bank. Yeah, I hate seeing those stories every year about it, you know. I mean, it's bad enough you're seeing stories of when the rivers get out of control and people go out there with no PFDs on and, mm-hmm. you know, it happens over and over again. And, you know, this time of year, it gets even more dangerous when the temperatures start dropping. So stay safe out there. Wear a PFD, DP used to say.
I bet the river's what? Low 50s now, I'm guessing. I haven't checked in a couple. I haven't looked.
It's kind of muddy still. It's still a little on the high side, too.
Oh, it's super high. Oh, it's actually 59 degrees right now. Huh. Surprised.
But, all right. Anything else, dude?
Nope.
All right. Take us out. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Yeah, man. Thanks again. That was a good topic. It's always fun to do a refresher on this. So, we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, and if you guys have any questions, feel free to hit me or Brad up on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, and we'll be more than happy to answer your questions. And if we don't have the answers, we can always get you in touch with the right people. Check out Chuck Earls. Check out NRS. You know, there's a ton of good cold water safety videos out there. So learn as much as you can. Stay safe.
Yep. We'll see you guys later. Let's go, Brandon.
Pursuing wild game in wild places. Tune in to Hunt Stand Presents Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
You want to succeed. You want to fish. You want to be one of the greatest.
Tune in to West Marine's Life on the Water, presented by Costa Custom Boats, every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.